It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutritional counselor, and I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us today. We're going to have a great show, and I hope you stay with us for the entire hour because we are going to be delving into a very hot and pertinent topic this morning. So let's get a lot of attention right now, and it's on Capitol Hill and town meetings, right?
Yeah, every time you turn on the radio, right?
Yeah, we will be hashing out our ideas on healthcare reform. And in studio to join me today on our soapbox is Cassie Wienus. Cassie is a licensed nutritionist who sees clients in our Wyzetta office. She also teaches classes. One of the loves that you love to do is the corporate wellness.
That's one of my favorite things, is doing the presentations for businesses throughout the Twin Cities.
Yeah, great. And you do a lot of them. So welcome to the show, Cassie.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here this morning. We were just talking about how this is the first show we've done together. Maybe once with Dar, but just you and I solo.
Right.
It's the first time. So this will be fun.
Here we are, solo. And Dar, whatever you're doing today, do you know what she's doing today, Cassie? Do you have any idea? I'm sure she's not taking
the day off. I would guess working, but no,
nice?
I don't know specifically.
Yeah, I think that's probably an educated guess that she's working.
Yeah. Say, before we get into the topic, Wendy, I have to say hello to my, well, to our listeners, but also to my two favorite fans back home, Riley, my 3.5-year-old, and Rissa, my almost 2-year-old. They're eating breakfast, and they always wait for mommy to say hi.
So. Oh, great. So hi to them.
Hi.
So what a great topic.
Yes.
A hot topic, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. I hope President Obama and members of Congress are listening because we have some valuable ideas to share. And I'm betting as the hour goes on, we will have many callers dialing our number to share their insights as well.
And their ideas. We'll take those, too. You and I certainly have a lot to say on this topic of healthcare reform, and we want healthcare reform the nutritional way. But do call us this morning. Give us a call at 651-641-1071 if you want to join our conversation. I'd like it to be, you know, really lively. We're getting political, aren't we?
Yeah, whole new road for us. You know, before we begin revealing some of our thoughts and ideas for reforming healthcare, I think we should look at what are the most costly diseases or conditions. In other words, what are we in America spending the majority of our healthcare dollars on?
Well, I betcha most people out there can guess.
Yeah.
Don't you? All diseases, of all the diseases and all the illnesses that can become afflicted with people, there are 4 here in the United States that are the most prevalent and truly the most costly. And we say, and we know, that they're also the most preventable.
That's the upside.
That's the upside. And those 4 diseases are?
Heart disease.
Can you take a guess out there? Heart disease, stroke, cancer, and of course, diabetes. And just from a nursing standpoint, when we would see people that had gone to the hospital or were recovering from anything, the people that had the most difficult recovery and the most costly recovery were diabetics.
People with diabetes.
Because it takes them so long to heal.
Sure. But you don't have to go there in the first place. And how about this statistic? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention states that each year, the government in this country spends about $2 trillion on healthcare. That's a T.
A trillion.
$2 trillion
That's
annually.
Hard to even imagine, isn't it? $1 trillion?
Yeah, it's right. Like how many dollars, how big of a room, right, would that fill up? And the Centers for Disease Control also estimates that chronic diseases, like the ones you just said, Wendy, account for about 75% of those $2 trillion.
So look at how much money we could save.
Oh, my goodness.
75% of $2 trillion. Do the math.
Is a lot of money.
I would say, yeah. Now, if there is a positive side to all of this, as we talked before, it is that even though these diseases are very costly and very debilitating for people, they are also among the most preventable of illnesses.
Right. And adapting healthy behaviors, which is what we specialize in and day out at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, right? Adapting healthy behaviors like eating nutritious foods and also being physically active. These are the things that can prevent or control many of these diseases.
Exactly. And in doing research for the show, Cassie, you came across information from Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Mm-hmm. Their most recent projection, which isn't that recent, it was 10 years ago, shows that adult health care costs attributable to just being overweight and obese are about $78.5 billion annually.
That's every year, right?
Again, hard to fathom. $78.5 billion.
And it all goes back to being unhealthy or overweight or obese, you know, and that makes sense. When you look at if you're obese, or if you're overweight a considerable amount, that's going to put you at risk for heart disease, for stroke, for certain cancers, and certainly for type 2 diabetes. And those are the four most prevalent chronic diseases you just stated a little while ago. And Wendy, if those are the estimates from 10 years ago, you can bet that overweight and obesity is costing us more than $78.5 billion today.
Right. And I just had this thought, Cassie. I mean, we're talking about billions and trillions of dollars. But, excuse me, I want to spend a little time talking about how these people suffer. My husband always watches Bill Moyers on Friday night, and they were showing, I think it was three or four people that had no health insurance. One man was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. One lady had ovarian cancer. And then this other man had ankylosing spondylitis, which was just fusing his spine and his bones and he lost, I think, like 7 inches or something. But how these people suffered, with the pain and the discomfort and, of course, showing their families and that they couldn't afford health care and the costs were astronomical. Mm-hmm. And in two cases, the people died and the spouses are left with bills that they can't pay. Mm. It's just, the suffering out there is just unconscionable, I think.
So let's pay it up front. Let's be preventative and not hopefully ever get there.
Which was exactly my thoughts in watching this whole program. No one was sitting down with these people going, you really can. Let's, can we eat this way? Can we eat that way? It was one huge medical procedure after the other. Mm-hmm. And Cassie, you and I know, I have clients in their 80s.
Yeah.
I have clients in their 80s suffering from, one lady in particular. I mean, she was in the emergency room three times in the last 3 months, which again, huge bills. And she came to see me and, at 81 years old, she's eating the way we are teaching her to eat, and she's fine.
Yeah.
She's just fine now.
Food is so powerful, and enough people don't get that connection.
But look how much money we're saving.
Yep.
Everyone, to say nothing of, the heartache and the pain and the discomfort.
Well, and maybe that's a piece of the reason why, thank goodness and knock on wood, that our business has not been feeling the economic downturn, and I am so thankful for that, but I just think it shows that in the end, we save people money. And so even in these hard times, people are paying out of their pocket to come and see us.
Yeah. And speaking of saving people money, do you have that little quote from our last 6-week weight and wellness series?
Thank you. Yeah.
Because people have this misconception that, oh my gosh, I can't afford to buy organic.
Don't you hear it all the time?
To buy good quality food.
Yeah.
But yes, when you compare this dozen eggs, your organic free-range eggs to the regular eggs, yes, you're going to have to pay $2 more. But let's compare that $3 a dozen eggs to a box of cereal.
Yeah.
Do you mind reading
for sure
that?
So this is a client that took our weight and wellness class with her mom, actually, and she emailed us with a comment because she's so excited. She said, after class 2 of the 6-week weight and wellness series, mom and I went shopping for groceries. We made a list and proceeded to buy the real food, she puts in quotes, that was recommended in the class. I kept looking at the volume of food in the cart and thought for sure the cost would exceed more than I normally spend on groceries. I was absolutely surprised when the total was much less than it was when I buy the usual chips, pop, Pop-Tarts, pre-boxed and processed foods. We have changed our habits, and in doing so, we have changed our lives for the better.
Isn't that great?
That gives me chills.
It does. It gives you goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope we're, you know, laying the groundwork here for our arguments. What do you say we begin sharing the criteria that we feel needs to be part of our healthcare reform?
Well, I thought you would never ask. Do we have time before break?
We do. We have about a minute and a half.
Well, the first thing that, you know, I think I did quite a bit of reading before the show, just kind of trying to get my thoughts in order on what would truly be the highest priority. And especially when you look at what some of the European countries are doing, this is what makes sense in my mind. Let's put more of the taxpayers' dollars, or maybe more of the insurance coverage, toward covering these preventative measures that we're talking about, instead of spending so much money on fix-it-after-the-fact medical procedures. You know, I'd be all for the government or the health insurance companies shelling out, let's say, 100% coverage for nutrition consults, for gym memberships, maybe for a personal trainer, and then maybe covering 60-40 for things like statin drugs or high blood pressure meds or heart surgeries. It would make people take a step back and think about, what do I need to do here?
I can hear the pharmaceutical industries now.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I used to work for them. I can imagine what they're...
And, you know, it's again, when we talk about expense, I mean, even with co-pays and partial insurance companies, it's very easy to sit down with the prices that we charge with someone that's paying $150, $300. And again, on the show last night, one of these medications for the month was costing this family $2,500 for just a month.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, we could do a lot with that money in food and nutritional counseling and having a much greater effect with what's going on with people.
And a long-lasting,
Yeah, exactly. So turn real things around. So good nutrition and physical activity are keys to prevention. I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said, Cassie. Let's focus our dollars more on nutrition and encouraging physical activity. And we're not the only ones thinking this way, are we?
No.
So it's time for break.
Okay.
And this morning, we're sharing with you some of our criteria for healthcare reform. If you want to join us in this discussion, please give us a call at the station at 651-641-1071. And before we break, I want to let you know that we have here results from a statistical ranking by the World Health Organization that has ranked over 190 countries throughout the world on things like the number of years people lived in good health and whether everyone had access to health care. When we come back, Cassie will let you know just how the United States ranked. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Lori, Julia, and me. Check out my Perez cast at 3:15 and 6:15 weekday afternoons on FM 107.1.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered and licensed dietitian. If you're just joining us, I'm here with Wendy Kate Stancer, nutrition counselor, and we're sharing our ideas for healthcare reform. Before we went to break, Wendy mentioned we have results of a statistical ranking put out by the World Health Organization looking at the world's healthcare systems. They studied 191 countries, and they ranked them on items like the number of years people lived in good health and whether everyone had access to health care, those types of things. The results are France, number one, the United States, number 37.
And I think this might be really shocking to some people that we are number 37, and yet the United States, we are number one in one thing.
Yep.
Guess what that is? The cost of our health care.
We spend the most, but we are not
by
the healthiest.
By far we spend the most, don't we? So I think we need to look at what France is doing and also, you know, what the World Health Organization is doing and talking about.
You know, and as I was reading up on other countries and their healthcare systems, Europe certainly, as we just saw, you know, France being number one in terms of good health and everyone having access to healthcare. And yet Europe's healthcare costs are rising, even though they're much lower than the United States. They're rising. And so that it's a concern. And those countries are looking at how can we start to go the other direction and decrease our healthcare costs. And so the World Health Organization has put their 2 cents in. And they said if Europe can improve their healthcare system by reducing the biggest risk factors for disease, which they state are physical inactivity, obesity, and low fruit and vegetable intake.
Ah.
What we talk about all the time. If Europe can address these things, that, how did they say this? They estimate that Europe can avoid 80% of heart disease and stroke and 40% of cancers. This is through food and activity.
What percent?
If Europe can address obesity, physical inactivity, and low fruit and vegetable intake,
yep,
they estimate that Europe can avoid 80% of heart disease and stroke and 40% of cancers.
Wow. 80% of heart disease and cancer. I mean, those are our two number one killers here in the United States.
Yeah, and I think probably worldwide.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And by fruit and vegetables, you know, they're not talking ketchup and Fruit Loops and fruit roll-ups, and are they?
No.
We're talking...
You know, and boy, here's a whole nother topic, another day. I've been reading here and there on school food service because, you know, in my dream world, I'm going to reform that too. And,
oh, great. we'll have another show on that.
I just have 200 years to live.
Maybe two, yeah.
But in I think it was in France. Don't quote me on this, but I believe it was in France. I was reading an article. Some food service directors went over to observe their school food service because they do such a better job. And they, for one, a lot of their schools over there have chefs preparing food, and they use a lot of local fresh produce.
Oh, fabulous.
So they know more of that fruit and vegetable piece, and they know what a real vegetable is. And right, it's not ketchup.
Well, most kids think vegetables are French fries.
Oh, my
God. I mean, seriously.
Well, sure. When you look at the average, what is it? The average child has 3 servings of French fries in a week.
Oh.
And my kids are having none, so somebody's having more than three.
Somebody's having more than that. You know, yeah. And these families that do eat out at fast food restaurants, again, the statistics are way up there, I think. Isn't that where, you know, about 3 times a week?
Yeah.
So we know, and we want to emphasize that good nutrition, real fruits, and that's why our very first class, it seems silly. We have to have a conversation. I always say, this is ridiculous.
We have to have
a conversation about
food?
Real food.
What is real food?
Right. Fruit and vegetables are not Fruit Loops. They don't come in a jar, you know, with, Gatorade or fruit juice that's, you know, again, 80% high fructose corn syrup.
And some of the canned fruits, right, too. I mean,
high fructose corn syrup
and that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about, no. So good nutrition, physical activity are keys to prevention. Let's have a conversation about real food. And I agree wholeheartedly with you, Cassie. Let's focus on our dollars more on nutrition and encouraging physical activity. If we could spend not only our health care dollars, but our own dollars.
Our own dollars.
And we're not the only ones thinking this way. This might be surprising to everyone, but in a recent survey of primary care physicians here in the United States, 96% of them said that our country's health care system needs to place more emphasis on nutrition to both treat and manage chronic illness.
Wow.
96%.
Wow. So that's, I mean, think about that. That's 9 out of every 10 family docs here in the U.S. saying that we need to start emphasizing the importance of nutrition in overall health. And they're saying that because right now our healthcare system is headed down an unsustainable road.
Oh, we've been there for a while.
Well, yeah. How much longer can we be there? And I want to share some of the more sobering results of this survey as well. This recent survey that you were just quoting, Wendy, it came was conducted by the American Dietetic Association along with the Department of Family Medicine at the University of Tennessee, and they questioned 400 family physicians throughout the U.S. Now, while 96% said with a resounding yes, we need more referrals to dietitians and nutritionists, in the next breath, more than 80% of those same 400 physicians said they do not routinely refer their patients to a nutritionist. And why is that? Because it is not usually covered by insurance.
No, it's not. And when you look at, you know, I mean, it's really pathetic. Even a diabetic, the insurance companies will give them two consultations with a nutritionist, many of them. Well, what can you learn in, you know, in 2 hours when you're a diabetic and you have,
you
get that diagnosis and you're overwhelmed and, you know, but this survey makes it clear. And what we've known all along is that, you know, the lack of reimbursement and basically the lack of support.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the lack of knowledge for what nutritional services can actually do. These things are a huge barrier in improving the quality of life of the American population and thus, decreasing our healthcare cost.
Yes. Well, and then when you look at the fact that almost half of all adults in the United States have at least one chronic condition or disease, you know, and in this survey, Wendy, it states that the doctors that they questioned said two out of every three of their patients who have a chronic disease would benefit from nutrition counseling.
Oh,
why?
And we know three out of three. I mean, there's
exactly.
No question, but we'll be right back to that conversation when we come back from break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. I love that word, that phrase, therapeutic nutrition, and a company advocating preventative nutrition. Stay tuned. When we return, Cassie has a delicious and healthy family recipe. So get your pens and your paper out to help you begin eating for your best health today. These are things that you probably will have in your kitchen. And if you have questions or comments today, give us a call here at the station, 651-641-1071. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
You're beautiful, that's for sure. You'll never, ever fade.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie, registered dietitian. I'm here with Wendy, a fellow nutrition counselor. If you're just joining us, we're talking this morning about healthcare reform, the nutritional way. And before we step back up on those soapboxes, as Wendy mentioned, I have a tasty recipe that our whole family enjoys. If my good friend Christy Joe is listening, thanks for sharing the recipe. She gave me this a couple of years ago, and she's a mom of two young kids.
All right.
It's fast. It doesn't take a lot of forethought, and it really tastes delicious. It's called crock pot cream cheese chicken. And I'm going to...
That even sounds delicious.
Especially on a cool morning like it was this morning or when fall gets here. I just love this recipe. Just, five ingredients here, so not too many. You take 1.5 pounds of frozen boneless chicken breasts, 15-ounce can of black beans, and you're going to drain those. And if you have a garden or you go to the farmer's market, 1.5 cups of fresh from the garden diced tomatoes.
Ooh.
Now, you could, you know, use a can there, too, but fresh is always better. A jar of salsa, I usually use a 16-ounce jar, and then 8 ounces of that whole-fat cream cheese. Not the low-fat, but the whole-fat. You just put those frozen chicken breasts in the crock pot, dump the black beans, the diced tomatoes, the salsa on top. And what I love the best is that you don't have to think ahead and thaw the chicken, right? Just throw it in there
frozen. We love the crock pot, too, don't we?
Love the crock pot. And then cook that on high for maybe 4 or 5 hours. And at that point, put that block of cream cheese on top and cook it for an additional 30 minutes and stir it. As those 30 minutes go on a bit, it kind of makes this nice creamy sauce. The chicken just shreds up because it's so tender. And then just serve that over some brown rice. It is delicious.
Yum.
And so easy. Yeah, and even my kids, you know, 3 and 1, and they gobble it up. Everybody loves it. It's also up on our website. So if you didn't get a chance to jot that down, right, the website is weightandwellness.com. So check that out.
Okay. Fabulous. Well, we actually have a caller here. If I can do this right. Jen? Is it Jen?
Yes, Jen.
Hi, Jen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. This is I've been looking forward to this topic for a long time.
Oh, great.
Wonderful.
I've been in communication with my congressman, John Klein, and he's on the same value level as myself. And one thing I'm encouraging him to do is go after the FDA, because I think we really need to, it's not an easy thing, I know, but somehow get rid of this high fructose corn syrup and trans fats from this country, as well as the artificial sweeteners that took the FDA to pass how many times?
Amen.
Yes. And I'm also calling about, I was listening to the Politics last week, and a lot of us callers called in and talked about listening to this show today.
You did?
About the controversy about soda and how they want to tax soda.
Yep. Yes.
And anyway, so that topic was brought up, and, you know, people agreed or disagreed. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing soda gone from at least, you know, I mean, my sister's talking about she had gone to Africa and she had some bad indigestion. They offered her a Coke, and it was sweetened with sugar as opposed to high fructose corn syrup, and she couldn't believe the difference.
Yep. Is that right?
But anyway, I agree with Cassie. Cassie, I agree with you 100%. We need more coverage on preventative, because it's going to save the insurance. I mean, obviously, it's going to save the insurance. It's going to save so much money. And it's just ridiculous how out of control and how advertisers, you watch commercials during, like, the evening news, and all you see is cholesterol meds and and these
Boniva commercials.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and doctors tell people eat low-fat.
Yes.
And stick away from meat and to lower your cholesterol, and it just makes me flabbergasted.
And it makes it worse, and you need more medication.
Exactly. It's just so frustrating. People are so we need to get out there and educate people, and I would be right up there on Capitol Hill, and I know Obama, and I'm not to say whether I support him or not, but I know I think he would be open to nutrition and for more preventative things.
Oh, absolutely.
I
mean,
so
they tried
too.
To do their own organic garden, and what
Isn't
happened to that?
That wonderful?
You know, there was bad soil there put there by a former president.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Well, and bad soil's another issue in this country, too.
Oh, it just goes on and on, doesn't it, Jan?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
we
have
need to get started, and good
somewhere.
For you for being an advocate and calling your congressman, and, you know,
need
to get...
And I think you guys, I just wish we could broadcast you worldwide, and I know people can listen online, but...
We're going to get there.
I know.
I keep
and
saying,
if I can do
gonna...
anything to help that, you better believe I will.
All right.
Jan, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate
it.
Okay, thank you
Bye-bye.
Much. Where were we?
What a great call.
Oh, that was fabulous. Good. It's
change.
Just,
we need
so many more people. You know, again, when the statistics before, 96% of the physicians believe in nutrition, yet, you know, their schedule is booked the whole day. They have maybe 5-10 minutes to sit with you. Does any of this happen? Do you even have a conversation about nutrition? No, it's about, okay, tell me your symptoms. I'm going to give you a medical diagnosis, and then we're going to give you prescriptions.
Because that's
that's just the way it is. That's just the way they're trained. It's it's a huge education gap.
Well, and like you're saying, there are great doctors out there. We know that they don't have time.
No.
I mean, look at our initial consults, 2 hours, and it has to be that.
Oh,
that
it does.
Initial, I mean, you can't do it in much less than that time.
I mean, don't you find that 2 hours
goes,
oh my gosh,
got to get you out of here.
Yeah, it could be longer.
So, you know,
and people actually sit there for 2 hours, and it's like, I mean, it goes so fast, it seems like a very long time, but all this knowledge and education,
right? We have to go back. We look at the whole person.
You have to go back to
look
at
your history, right? To kind of connect those dots and figure out what's going on and where we need to start. So, yeah, it it needs to be those 2 hours. And like I said, doctors don't have that time. You know, before we went to break, I was giving another piece of that that research study when they questioned those 400 doctors or that questionnaire. And I want to just say that again. This questionnaire that they put out to 400 doctors, 2 out of 3 of every family doc that they asked, excuse me, I'm not saying that right. When they questioned the family docs, patients. The doc said 2 out of every 3 of their patients who have a chronic disease would absolutely benefit from nutrition counseling. But again, it's not happening because it's not being reimbursed, so the doctors aren't sending them there. And as you went on to say, Wendy, how many do you think could be helped?
Well, we know. I mean, I know because I see it every day and we live it every day. We actually have the opportunity because we're here. And as everybody knows, you know, since 1970, I've been a registered nurse and I've been on the other side.
Right.
I know how frustrating it is to give one more medication, one more medication, one more medication, and then have the pharmacist have to come in to review to say, you're going to kill this person when you have them on
these
this medication and this medication at the same time. And it, you know, that just got really scary for me. Plus, people got worse. They weren't getting better. People with heart disease got worse. People with diabetes got worse. Certainly people with cancer got worse. I mean, you know, very, you know, few of them actually got, you know, healed on chemo and things. But it was just so frustrating. And now I get to see health every day.
Why you went into the profession, right? To help people.
Exactly.
I always
say
that, too.
And I think most doctors and, you know, everybody, that's why they went. But we just have got into this huge, big, moving machine that's got to really re-looked at.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
What is France doing? What is the World Health Organization saying? Let's look at these chronic illnesses. And, my gosh. Here, we just got started talking, and it's time for another break.
We need a two-hour show.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Don't turn that dial. We'll be back in a moment, and Cassie wants to share another easy meal idea.
Mm-hmm.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Thanks for joining us on Dishing Up Nutrition this morning. If you're just tuning in, our topic today is healthcare reform. As Wendy mentioned before break, I have a simple idea for a delicious meal. Pot roast. Back to the crock pot thing. You know, and I kind of
love the crock pot.
Oh, yes. It's easy, simple, you know, especially if you're working a lot or if you have young kids, it's easy to just dump stuff in there. And I always say it's hard to screw it up in the crock pot.
That's for sure. Well, what is this? Oh, crock pot stew. And it's delicious.
It all tastes good.
It's always tender.
Exactly. And that's a big factor. So with a pot roast, you know, I usually take around a 3-pound boneless beef roast. And it just depends usually on what I get from the farm back home. But could be a chuck. You could maybe buy a loin, a round roast, whatever cut you have. Put that in the crock pot. Excuse me. Put your vegetables in first. Usually I do 1 or 2 onions cut into thin wedges, a couple cloves of garlic finely chopped is always really tasty, and then whenever you have other vegetables on hand, carrots, baby red potatoes, throw them in there, place the roast on top, and then take a medium bowl, put in 1 can of organic beef broth, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 2 teaspoons dry mustard, 1 teaspoon of dried thyme, little salt and pepper, pour this liquid over the beef in the crock pot, cook on low for, I don't know, 9 to 11 hours, usually while you're at work for the day. Come home and you have a delicious supper waiting, like Wendy said, always tender, and it makes the house smell great. And the details of this are on the website as well. So go to weightandwellness.com. The trick is you have to click on radio show. And then you'll see the word recipes and click on recipes and you'll find this and a lot of other wholesome, delicious,
real food
recipes
that we can pronounce, right?
Yes.
And there they are. And they're delicious.
Oh, my gosh.
They are delicious.
They've been tested and taste tested, and yeah, they're all good.
And we talked before, too, Cassie, about the fact, I mean, this wonderful comment from one of our class participants that went to the grocery store looking for real food and was surprised to find out that it didn't cost her any more than the package stuff.
Yeah. Well, and think about how fast you go through the package stuff, right? Because it never fills you up, the chips
or
the pretzels.
But again, we're so into this fast food, throw it in the microwave, put the pizza rolls in the oven, that kind of thing. But when we actually have people, again, this doesn't take a lot of time.
This is fast food.
This wouldn't take you any more time. I mean, what is that going to take you? 10 minutes to put that in the crock pot in the morning.
Yeah.
And our recipes, you know, I do a lot of my cooking on the weekend, you know, our egg bake recipe, our wild rice meatballs, and these are delicious. I mean, families, kids, teenagers love this food. Mm-hmm. It's good, real food. We've forgotten what that tastes like.
Yep.
We've forgotten that broccoli and carrots and peppers are sweet. You know, again, I'll never forget when Dar's, you know, it was at one of the classes that she was teaching, said, you know, when you get those trans fats off your taste buds, you can start tasting food.
It is so true. And it takes a while. From experience, I speak, but you come to a point where you taste something with trans fats and it has an off taste and you don't crave it anymore.
Yeah. And when, like Jen was talking about the, you know, not that we're advocating sugar cola either, but you know, the difference between
lesser
high fructose corn syrup and sugar.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, we want the difference between fruit roll-ups and some strawberries for your children. Mm-hmm. You know, just wash them. You know, they love picking them up by the stem and eating them, or blueberries, or, you know, I mean, this is easy food. I don't know why. Well, of course, we know why, but
we know why.
Back to
billions
our
of dollars of marketing. We know why.
The $1 million that we have to advertise real food, and the $1 trillion or $1 billion they have to advertise processed food. But anyway,
back to our
conversation on healthcare. We would love to see, you know, nutritional weight and wellness. We would love to see our food makers start taking part in improving the health care of this nation. Change the focus. And we've often heard they don't spend any research dollars looking at how we can give people more nutritious food. It's like, no, how can we make it cheaper? How can we make people eat more of it?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And a great place to start, please, you know, as Jen said, calling her Congressman John Klein. But please, let's put some pressure at these town hall meetings. And this is an open conversation now. Let's stop. Please stop the trans fats. Stop the high fructose corn syrup.
The research
stop
is
the
there.
Stop the MSG.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop the aspartame.
We could keep on going.
We could.
But, you know, if I had to pick just two, I would say trans fats and high fructose corn syrup. The research is there. Dar always says, we don't make this stuff up.
No, we don't.
The research is there, and we see it in clinical practice. The trans fats and the high fructose corn syrup can increase your risk of being overweight or obese, which then puts you at a greater risk for chronic illness. You know, and it's sad. You look back, I don't feel like I'm that old. But when you look back.
Oh, you're not, Cassie.
Well, relative, right, to who you're talking to. But 30-plus years ago when I was born, you didn't have to worry about these two evil ingredients. They were not in the foods. Now, my mom goes to the grocery store with pretty much the same type of a grocery list she was doing when I was a kid, and I try to explain to her, you're getting a lot junkier stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. It's even, and it's in our ketchup, it's in our barbecue sauce, it's in our salad dressing, it's in our kidney beans, and for sure, every box of cereal that you pick up has high fructose corn syrup, and every other one has trans fats in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So much.
You know,
okay. Before you.
Oh no!
Before
not
you start
break.
That thought, it's time for break again. They come up really fast, and so this is our last break already. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Before we run out of time, I do want to let you know we have two great classes coming up. The first part of September on September 2nd in Woodbury. We have Jumpstart Your Metabolism. And on September 9th in Wayzata, we have Solutions for Perimenopause and Menopause. This is a great class. It's a great
class.
Are you
teaching that one?
I teach it.
You teach it when it's...
with Sandy Greenquist from the Menopause Center. So you get the best in nutritional advice, and you get the best in how to balance your hormones from the hormone expert.
Mm-hmm.
So call the office at 651-699-3438 to learn more or to sign up for these great classes. We'll be right back.
We're back one final time. The topic we've been discussing today is healthcare reform, the nutritional approach. Wendy and I were just saying over break, we need to do this show again because we have a lot more ideas.
We didn't even get through. Yeah, here we are. It's like, look at all this wonderful information. We've got articles, quotes, just wonderful, great stuff.
And we do need to keep talking about it so that change is made.
We need to keep talking about it. We need to change the conversation out there, the high fructose corn syrup, the trans fats. You know, again, we've been talking about calling your congressman, but, you know, better yet, and this is why we do this, Cassie. This is why we teach classes. I have, you know, Akara, I remember at the beginning of every class, she said, the reason I do this is the one thing we have control over in our life. We have control over very few things, but the one thing that we have control over is what we put in our mouth.
Oh, I love that. I've never sat in on one of her classes. That's wonderful.
She's a great teacher, as
Absolutely.
All of our teachers are. So let health reform begin in your kitchen.
Right.
In your kitchen. Start reading labels. Look for real foods. That's number one. Let's get out the high fructose corn syrup. Get out the trans fats. What are they going to look for on a label, Cassie? We talk about trans fats, but what are they going to see on the label?
Partially hydrogenated or hydrogenated. Don't just look at that nutrition facts panel and look trans fat zero and think you can throw it in your cart. No, you have to read the ingredients and stay away from hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils of any kind. And I love what you're saying, Wendy, because, yeah, we can work towards and dream about getting these two ingredients, trans fats and high fructose corn syrup, banned in our country or taxed or whatever. But until that happens, we can ban it from our own bodies or from our own kitchens. So read your labels. Stay away from those two ingredients.
Exactly. And start cooking. It's fun. It's fun. It's delicious. Your kitchen smells good.
And you're going to feel better.
Think about that pot roast as you come in after a long day of
that's
work.
That's comfort food.
That's much better than looking at a package of frozen pizza rolls.
For
Absolutely.
Sure.
And we know that food can be the problem or food can be the solution. And Cassie, we want it to be the solution.
Absolutely. The choice is up to you.
Thank you so much for listening today.
The proceeding was a paid program. The views expressed are not necessarily those of the management or ownership of FM 107. WFMP, Coon Rapids, St. Paul, Minneapolis.